What do we know about sort of the dose relationship between BTK inhibitors and efficacy? You know, do you lose anything by decreasing the dose?
I think the short answer is I don't think so. So we actually conducted a study, retrospective study, which we published in 2015, I think, or 2016, in partnership with Georgetown and Hackensack, where we looked at all of the patients in our system who had dose reductions of ibrutinib within the first 3 months of exposure, who stayed on that lower dose, and compared it to all the patients who were on standard dose. And we couldn't detect a difference in PFS, OS, or response rate. So that data was published in BJH. Subsequently, there's been a paper in Leukemia and Lymphoma, and there's been some prospective data from MD Anderson published in Blood, which confirmed our hypothesis that if you have to reduce in the setting of AE, you probably don't lose much. I don't think that that's a rationale for starting at a lower dose, but if you have to do it, you can provide patients with a high level of reassurance. I think part of that may be mechanistically, but also part of that may be the fact that patients are not that large with CLL. And the data from the phase one suggests that if you do weight-based dosing, you need to at least get to 2.5 mgs per kg in order to have 95% occupancy of BTK. We measured our patients who got the low dose, and actually most of those patients, even at 280 milligrams a day, were still getting to 2.5 milligrams per kilogram. So they're probably still getting 90, 95% BTK occupancy, although we didn't test for that because it was retrospective. But the data from MD Anderson that are prospective in like 11 patients do support that with time, as you're having a reduction in the tumor mass, you may require less drug in order to control the remaining tumor bulk or the number of cells that remain. So it's an unanswered question, but I think low-dose ibrutinib, while not a standard of care, is reasonable in the setting of adverse event.
So you talked about some of the novel agent options, first-line therapy for the typical patient who's del-17P or P53 negative. What about those that are positive? Is this still ibrutinib or is venetoclax a consideration?
I think both are equal considerations. I think we have more data available in aggregate for ibrutinib and del-17P positive patients, but venetoclax has been also heavily studied in that patient population. There's a relapse refractory study, I think, reported by Stefan Stickelbauer in del-17P positive patients. And to me, they're equal efficacy in a del-17P patient. I don't differentiate one versus the other. I think some people do, but I don't think that there's a difference.
So it's been really interesting to hear about a lot of issues related to ibrutinib.